Hello, this is Mercury Matt Yaden, CEO of Rocky Mountain Pro in Denver, Colorado, here to tell you that you should be tuning in to the Edward Fowler Show, the greatest wrestling podcast in the UK, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube to hear great interviews with phenomenal talent from all over the world.
Listening to the best wrestling podcast in the UK. This is the Edward Fowler Show.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to the Edward Fowler Show here on YouTube and Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And I'm just tweeting out something as we speak here. But when I contacted this person, okay, I was not expecting a response or anything like that. I thought he may have said no or not even email me back. But it's so happy to have him on the show. And the guest I've got on the show today is, you know, he's been in UFC. You know, he does MMA as well. And even appeared at some wrestling events as well. And it's great to have him on the show, Mike the Truth Jackson. Welcome to the Edward Fowler Show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. Just enjoying the beautiful day right out here in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, good old Houston. Why? You know, it's different, isn't it? Houston. We're just going to find you now, actually. But yeah, it's good to see you on here on Houston, Texas. But how is it for you? How is Houston today?
Nah, man, it's hot. That's what it is. It's always hot, man. And it'll be about this temperature now until about November. Hopefully it cools down a little bit. But, you know, there's global warming is real. And we're feeling it out here. So just trying to stay cool, man. I'm inside in this AC right now, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, it is global warming is real. And I just tweeted out now on Twitter, me that you've now got my full attendance here on the show now. It's all about you. But I mean, you mentioned global warming is a real issue. Of course, your President Donald Trump doesn't want to, you know, go into global warming. But we'll leave that for another day, however. But for right this minute, many people, well, thank you for retweeting that. For many people who may not know you, of course, you were part of UFC, and you had some great bouts in the UFC over the years. And which one was your favorite to be a part of?
Man, I'm just enjoying the ride, man, to be honest with you. The entire experience is pretty cool. But for me, it's just all about the brand and building it up and you know, to get the eyes on me. And for me, in turn, that puts eyes on a lot of the up-and-coming talent that I'm featuring on my platform.
Yeah, absolutely. And you say that as well. And do you still watch the product? You know, do you still watch it every now and then to see what's happening in the world of UFC as well as MMA as well in what you do?
Ah, man, my life is fighting, you know. So, I work for a small promotion here in town called Fury Fighting Championships. We put on, you know, pro MMA fights, mainly here in Texas. But, you know, we expand. We have a show this weekend in Corpus Christi, which is South Texas. We just came back from Lake Charles, Louisiana, a couple of weeks ago. We were making our first show out in Denver, Colorado, here in the next few weeks. But then I work for LFA as well. I'm the LFA's head photographer, yeah. So I get to travel the country with them. I'll be in Riverside, California this week, Salt Lake City, Utah next week. So, you know, basically I'm all over the country, you know, and I'm shooting fights. I'm at home covering fights. So, I mean, fighting is my life, you know. So, I mean, this is just what I do.
Absolutely. And, you know, you also fight as well. In these MMA promotions you go to, and you also take some awesome photographs. And what got you into taking, you know, doing stuff outside of the octagon then?
Yeah, you know, so for me, I started off as a photographer, you know, as a kid, always had a camera in my hand. And then, you know, years down the line, obviously I get into fighting, and I fall in love with that. And so for me, it was just a way to merge two things that I really enjoy and that I love doing. But then I'm also a businessman. And, you know, for me, my mentality is that, you know, you can't fight forever. You have to make sure that you have a backup plan and something that you can, you know, fall back on once, either for those who fighting doesn't work out for, or for those who, you know, once you retire, once you're gone, you need to have something that you can do once, you know, you're done with the combat sport. So that was all I did, you know. I set up a, you know, a solid business model, what I have going on. I have the photography. I have the interviews and the podcasting, the media personality side as well. Working on some TV shows. So, man, I'm doing a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And do you enjoy doing it all? Do you, or is it one particular thing you enjoy doing the most out of all the things you're doing at the moment? Because it's keeping you very busy. And is it one thing you love to do more than the other? Or do you love doing all aspects?
Yeah. You know, for me, I enjoy everything under the umbrella. You know, I'm a combat sports media personality. You know, I've been able to sort of create this sort of niche position, you know, that I'm in.
Yeah.
I'd be able to create this and carve my own lane, you know. So for me, I look at it, everything is as one entity. You know, the Mike the Truth, you know, entertainment brand, you know, is one thing. So I just enjoy every aspect of it, the photography, you know, the interviews. I'm just here, man, to display my art, you know. Whether it's the photography, whether it's the fighting, whatever it is, I'm just here to share it with the world.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so tell me then, as you heard at the start of the show, of course, this is a wrestling podcast. We love to do UFC. We, you know, I watch UFC as well, and I'm very familiar with what we're doing in UFC. You know, and will we ever see you again in UFC? Because I know, you know, Dana White said you were, you're no longer a part of it.
Yeah, let me cut that. People keep talking about, you know, what Dana keeps saying, and I've said over and over over the past year, you know, I've been out with an injury, so you know, I've been recovering. But people keep talking about what Dana White's saying. Look, man, it is what it is. He's entitled to his opinion, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, like, I'm in the UFC. Yeah. So people keep asking about, you know, whether I'm with the company or not. It's like, yeah, like, I don't feel like no one has heard or seen anything saying that I'm cut. You know, it's just Dana White. You know, he was upset. So people got to, you know, people just need to, I don't even know what people do. It's just a crazy, crazy position that people keep asking me about, you know, this Dana White thing over a year later. And it's just like, why don't y'all notice, you know, but whatever. And then I can do about that, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's all yours. You can say you like it on the Father Show. There is another topic we want to talk about before we get into reality of wrestling, and that is yesterday. Now, when I was playing this, I was not going to ask you this until I saw this yesterday. But did you see the interview with Conor McGregor did on SportsCenter yesterday?
Yeah, you know, I was able to check that out. And it was interesting. You know, Conor was a little bit all over the place, you know, as far as explanation and things that he wanted to do. But it's Conor's Conor, man. Like, nothing about what he said surprised me or shocked me. It's on par with what Conor does.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think we'll see him back in the UFC anytime soon? Do you think they'll make a comeback?
Yeah, 100%, man. Like the dude, you could tell, even in the interview, like, you can tell that he's a fighter, man. Yeah. Like, yeah, the money and everything is, you know, is gonna have a role and is gonna impact his life. But, you know, Conor McGregor is still a fighter first and foremost, you know, and he wants to fight, and you know, he has an ego. Like, that's the thing, is like, the fighters like him, well, fighters in general, but especially someone his attitude, you know, has a massive ego, mm-hmm. and you know, you got to feed that thing, you know. And so he's been doing what he's doing out on the side, and you know, doing well with his businesses, but he's still a fighter. So You can tell he's hungry, and I think we'll get the I think the Conor McGregor Frankie Edgar fight is probably the best matchup and fight to make at the moment. I think it's intriguing. I feel you have something where we've seen him, you know, have issues with wrestlers. Yeah. You know, Frank, obviously, he's good striking, but he has a wrestling background. But I just want to see a good fight, and I think that's the fight to make.
Interesting to say so. So I think if that does happen, then I'm going to bet on that as well and say, yep, we told you so here on the Fowler Show. It'll be a great match, so let's make it happen. But I watched, I'm a big fan of reality of wrestling, you know, Booker T's promotion down in Houston. And I saw that you were there on the Summit of Champions 6, which is now available on YouTube.com. The full event is there, and you were the guest commentator for the first match, I think it was, wasn't it? And you did an awesome job, by the way. And we had on Brad Gilmore on this very show a few weeks ago. And I think you did a much better job than what he did on the shows. And I wish you could be there permanently, but, you know, things happen. But tell me, how did it all happen? How did you, you know, get to be a part of the event? Did they contact you, or did you contact them? How did it all come about? And will we see more of you in reality of wrestling in the future?
Yeah, you know, that was actually my second invitation out. You know, Booker reached out. You know, he's a fan of mine. You know, I'm a fan of his. I grew up watching him. He and my father are actually, you know, their childhood friends. They went to school together. And that's really more of a coincidence than anything. But, you know, he reached out to me, wanted me to come out. They like my style. They like my flavor. They like what I bring to the table as far as the commentary goes. And I enjoy it as well. You know, it's fun to get out there and cause some high-flying action. Mm-hmm. But as far as will I be back out? Yeah, I expect and I anticipate that to make some appearances here and there, you know, some little special guest appearances whenever my schedule allows it, you know. But, you know, I'm a busy man out over here traveling the country doing some cool stuff. So hopefully when the time permits, you know, I'll be back in the commentating booth.
Cool. Good to hear. And maybe not just in the commentary table, maybe see you on air maybe as well.
You never know. We never know what the ride entails. But man, we're enjoying it. So you never know. Once this UFC thing is wrapped up, you know, the next chapter may be some reality of wrestling. Who knows?
Yeah, and maybe even bigger and better stuff for you as well. Maybe you can travel the world doing both your MMA stuff and doing some pro wrestling as well. You know, knocking some people out. You know, some TKOs.
Hey. It's possible. You never know.
Who is your favorite then in reality of wrestling? Who do you enjoy watching and seeing when you get the chance to see the product?
Man, there's legit Alexa Garcia. She's tight. Man, Moonshine Mantel. You know, he's a champ. I enjoy watching him. They have a great stable over there, guys. I can list. You know, they have a solid quality product. Their wrestlers are great. They're entertaining. I get to chop it up with some of them backstage. You know, the ones who, you know, are personable and want to talk. Some of them cats, you know, they're just angry all the time, and so I don't talk to them much. But they just have a great stable and solid product. And you know, I just enjoy everybody over there. I enjoy the whole show.
That's good too. But you say there's some angry cats over there. But I mean, I bet you can just talk to them and get them in line. Otherwise, you can just TKO them. I think they're more scared of you than the other way around.
You know, and that could be what it is. That there could be a little bit of an intimidation factor when they see me walking around backstage, and maybe they just don't want to come talk to me because they're scared. I don't know. look, I'm a cool cat, man. I'm cool. So, you know, if these guys are listening, you know, whether it's reality or wrestling, you know, wherever I am, you know, come talk to me. Say what's up. I'm approachable.
Yeah, he is approachable. You don't believe me? you know, go to one of the events, you know, meet him in person, go and sign him, and that links in my next thing here. Tell my listeners and viewers where they can find you on social media, as for our YouTube viewers, they can actually see your stuff, but just tell my other people who where they can find you and where you'll be in the coming days and months to come.
Yeah, of course, man. You can follow me on all the social media, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat is all the Truth Jackson. Facebook is Mike the Truth Jackson. I have a podcast, of course. You can find that at mikethetruth.com/podcast. It's called The Truth About Stuff. We're on Apple, you know, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all of those. But as far as travels, like I said, I'll be in Riverside, California this week for LFA 74. I'll be in Salt Lake City, Utah next week for LFA 75. I'll be in Nashville. I'll be in Salt Lake City Friday. I'll be in Nashville on Saturday for Submission Hunter Pro. I'm in the Jiu-Jitsu Super Fight scene as well. So yeah, I'm enjoying life right now.
Yeah, yeah, and you're everywhere. That's the thing. You're everywhere. If you have people want to go, you're going to be there. Like, you're in Utah, then Nashville, you know, everywhere.
That's the thing, man. I'm across the country. I'll be in, you know, two different parts of the country in 2 days. But for me, you know, it's about building a brand. It's about expanding. It's about, you know, name recognition. When I come to these places, they know you have the media personality. I'm coming in here providing, you know, great content, whether it be the photography, whether it be the videos. It could be the Truth Food Tour, because when I travel around, I base it on my food, on my travels. So you just never know, man. I just provide dope content, man. I provide a look into my life that is entertaining, and then I think it'll help people out and motivate them and entertain them. You know, I think entertainment and laughter is a great key to happiness, you know. And so if I can just provide a little bit of that for people every day, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, good, good, good. Now, you say you're going to be in Utah and Nashville. Will you be, you know, actually fighting as well, or will you be doing other things outside of the Octagon on Friday and Saturday?
You know, I'm still under contract in the UFC. You know, so but like I said earlier, I've been out with an injury.
Yes.
I've been, you know, rehabbing that and getting better. I just now was able to get back to high level of training as far as sparring goes. You know, I went out to Vegas to the UFC PI to get looked at and get tests ran to see where my body is physically, to see where I am mentally, and everything is looking good. You know, so we're just picking up the tempo right now, but we don't want to pick it up too much. You know, I was offered a fight on the Argentina card. I want to say back in like November. And then that's sort of where all the injuries sort of flared up again, getting to that. So, for me, it's a matter of being as optimal as I can be, knowing that, you know, I'm facing a higher level of competition here. Mm. So, I'll never be 100% again. I think that just comes with fighting.
Yeah.
Want to be the best I can, you know, when I step in there and lay it out on the line.
Yeah, and if you do, of course, return to in-ring competition. Is there anybody who you would like to face?
No, you know, for me, I'm just looking for a quality matchup. There's nobody. Look, man, the roster's deep. I don't even know half these guys. I know half the guys in training with the other, you know.
Yeah.
So for me, it's just going out there. Look, I'm just doing this because I love fighting. Nothing more, nothing less. I enjoy the sport. I enjoy the competition, and now, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to do this at the top organization at the highest level. So I'm just using this opportunity, you know, and to make the best of it and to have fun.
Yeah, that's the main thing. If you're not having fun, then you're in the wrong business, aren't you, really? And
100%.
Yeah, and you know, people. I've asked people before. You know, saying about, I've asked people this before about wrestling and about taking bumps and such, and people say, I hate taking bumps. I'm thinking, if you hate taking bumps, then why are you in this business then? You need to go and find something else to do, kind of thing. So it's a bit like fighting as well. I bet some people who do not like to fight do very well in UFC, and but they might not admit it to the camera, but inside themselves thinking, why am I doing this to myself?
Right. You know, I think it's a mix. You know, some people look, they're looking at it from the fame aspect. So you have certain people who love attention. They love the attention. They love people watching them. They love the admiration that comes with it. And to a lot of people, like, that's a drug. And you have to look at the cost reward factors. And to some people, although they terribly hate fighting, they love what comes, the rewards of it. And so for them, the cost of training and the cost of fighting is worth it when they reap the rewards of the win and the celebration and the finish and things like that. So it's all individual levels and what you're willing to give up for that ultimate prize, that ultimate drug of that winning and that celebration in the UFC.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we're looking forward to find out what happens next. And you know, when you were growing up and wanted to be a fighter, did anyone like inspire you to be the best you can be? Like and anybody when you watched, maybe thought, wow, I want to be just like this guy or this guy kind of thing. Was there anyone who inspired you or not?
No, you know, as far as fighting inspiration goes, you know, I was always a fan of Anderson Silva. Growing up, you know, that was one of the first fighters. That was probably the first fighter where I was just like, yo, who is that? Yeah. And I'm watching everything about him. I was a fan prior to that. Was, you know, I watched The Ultimate Fighter Season 1. I remember watching live Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner. But even prior to that, when you had the UFC earlier days and Hoist Gracie, like, I was watching that, man. You know, I was a fan of it. But it wasn't until Anderson Silva came out and decimated Chris Lieben where I was like, yo, like, I need to watch and see who this cat is. Mm. But that got me into the sport itself. But one thing that I realized as far as the training and even teaching, you know, I coach, you know, I come from a boxing, so I've coached people there. But one thing that I've realized and understood is not everyone can do everything, and you have to do what works best for you as far as your fighting style.
Yeah.
So although people may be a fan of Anderson Silva and want to do certain techniques that he does, not everyone is physically gifted enough to do that, you know. On the flip side, you'll have someone built like Daniel Cormier, who's short, compact, and who's solid wrestling. Not everyone can do that. You know what I'm saying? So you really have to figure out, as far as the fight game goes, you have to figure out what works best for you and what can help you excel. And for me, like, I'm in the gym training, and my coach is trying to teach, or, you know, I'm going over drilling and things like that and taking classes, and my coaches are, you know, for the whole class, they're telling us, you know, certain things that we want to do. And I'm just literally like, I would never do that in a fight. Not to say that I'm not going to train it and try it out and practice it, but I know I'm not going to do that in a fight for whatever reason, whether I'm physically incapable of doing that, whether it's not in my wheelhouse, whatever. But I still practice it and try it out. But I just don't, I don't try to implement it in a fight because I understand, you know, me trying this move out, and okay, if I mess up, I know the consequences of that. So it's just about growing and getting better. Yeah, I mean, everybody, I don't know where I went off that.
No, it's absolutely fine. And, you know, it's awesome to see all these different people now entering different aspects. And one of the two people who, you know, crossed over to wrestling from UFC was, of course, the great Ken Shamrock. And you know, do you respect what he did in UFC and what he did in wrestling? And will you be tuning into Impact to see his big return after almost 20 years not being in the company?
Wait, Ken Shamrock is coming back to wrestling?
Yeah. He's
Yeah, so Ken Shamrock was one of the first guys that I remember crossing over back in the day. That was actually how I became a fan of Ken Shamrock, was when he joined, you know, WWF at the time. There was some other guys, well, I think Tank Abbott went over. Who were some other guys, some other big name that kind of crossed over for a little bit in the early days?
I know another guy. I don't know if he's in UFC though, but his name was like Dan the Seven or something like that. It was called.
Oh, there you go, Dan. That was the other guy, Dan Severn. I was, because he actually had. I remember he and Ken Shamrock went back and forth. But he didn't like Dan Severn. Like, I didn't know who Dan Severn was prior to him coming to WWF. And I would actually say they were the reasons. They probably got me even noticing what MMA was and UFC was. Those guys crossing over into wrestling. And then I remember watching like the earlier pay-per-views on like the old scrambler boxes, and VHS. I didn't have any. My cousins had the VHS tape. That was my access to MMA back then.
Nice. That's cool. That's good to hear, you know. Keep it back to 90s. Before, you know, like 20 years ago, DVD and clear pictures weren't out. There's no, like, HD back
DVD.
Then.
It wasn't DVD. It was VHSs
back
then.
Way before DVDs.
Yeah. DVDs weren't even by the time. Well, no. DVDs came out. Let me see, because I was still... DVDs were out, but fighting, because I don't think DVDs were out, but fighting, the old like fighting videos were still on VHS. It was still more of an underground thing, because DVDs were more like big movie. Because I remember the first two DVDs I had was Gone in 60 Seconds and Gladiator. So it was those were the movies that came out on DVD first. But like the bootlegs and the underground sort of. Even like, again, MMA at the time was very underground. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't see DVDs just yet, because they didn't have DVD burners at this time. I'm putting it all back in and trying to look at it in chronological order. Mm-hmm. Yeah, DVD burners were now, and that's kind of where, before there was a production of like sporting events on DVDs, you had it where people would bootleg them and copy them and download them and put them on the DVD burners, or to the blank DVDs through burners. But that technology hadn't reached yet when DVDs first came out.
Gotcha. And, back to reality of wrestling then. What was your favorite match on Summer of Champions? Like, did you stick around for the whole event, or did you just do your bit and then...
No, I stay around and watch the whole card. No, it's definitely... And then, like, for me, I get to hang out in the back with the guys. I'm watching it, I watched this one with Booker T, and then, you know, I get to see the inner workings of everything. I get to see the behind the scenes, and the funny thing about it, there's a lot of similarities as far as, like, MMA backstage, as well as the pro wrestling backstage. There's similarities as far as some of the pep talks and conversations with upper guys that are had. So it's fun, it's intriguing, and that's just the way I enjoy those types of things. The show before that one, I get to watch it with Brother Love. It's a cool experience, man. But as far as my favorite match that night, man, there were so many good ones. The Fatal 4-Way, I call, was a fun match. It had some exciting at both inside the ring, outside the ring. Told a great story. There was a women's match 4-Way that was intriguing. Told a great story. Man, it was, like I said, it was just... I couldn't really pick as far as the matches that really stuck out to me, mm-hmm. because I think the entire product was solid.
Yeah.
So it all kind of blended together for me.
Yeah. I tell you what's one I enjoyed. I enjoyed the ladder match. The ladder match on the main event. I think them two matches stood out to me the most, I thought, because there's some crazy things happen in the ladder match. You know, like, holy cow kind of thing. Like, holy cow moments kind of thing. And definitely the main event, you know.
The main event was, I can't remember the guys who were in it, but I do remember I was very entertained. Yeah. I remember when the guys came in the back after the match, I was like, yo, like, that was really dope. I do remember the matches. Like I said, I don't remember the names, but it was quality product over there with Reality of Wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely. Who would you suggest for me to contact next from your world? You know, let's dive into your world. Okay, with your contacts, who would you suggest me to get in contact next week on this great show? You know, we've had the likes on, you know, Marty the Moths to Brad Gilmore. We've had on Shane Taylor, Bay City Bruiser, all available. All these clips are available on the YouTube channel, and full episodes are on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just want to make that clear. But yeah, he's thinking about it. Let's see who he thinks.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are entertaining. There's a guy, Juan Adams. He's an interesting guy. He's from Houston as well. He's a heavyweight fighter in the UFC. He has a little bit of a connection to the wrestling world. He tried out for the WWE's. They had like a wrestling program.
Yeah.
And he actually got a role and got a job. But obviously the UFC came calling, so Trump's on that. But man, there's so many. I wouldn't even know where to begin, to be honest with you.
Well, you just kind of addressed a name, so I'm going to stick with that name.
There you go.
So let's see if we can make that happen here on the O'Farrell Show through our connection with Mike the Truth Jackson. And again, he'll be in Nashville and Utah. Is that right?
I'll be in California. Going back to Cali this weekend. Then next weekend, I'll be in Salt Lake City, Utah, Nashville, Tennessee, eating some delicious hot chicken.
And which city do you love the most to go into? And will we see you in the UK or Europe anytime soon?
Man, I would love to get out there. It's actually on the list of things to do. I don't know. I'm looking at they got me traveling everywhere over here, so it's hard to get away. Where is my favorite city? Probably, I love New York. Okay. New York is one of my spots to go to and travel. I love Atlanta. It's a beautiful black people everywhere over there in Atlanta. man. And of course, there's no place like home. Houston, Texas. H-Town. So I love being here. And, you know, I don't even think I'll ever move. I think I'll stay here for the rest of my days. But I think I'm going to travel the country a little bit more and see what it has to offer.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully you can bring your brand to the UK. And
hope so, man. I think we're going to have to make that happen.
We'll try our best. We'll try our best on the Father Show to bring you to the best city in the world, Manchester, UK. And, you know, will we ever see, the UFC back over here? Maybe for a major pay-per-view, because they do come over here. You know, for like fight nights kind of thing, but they don't really do a big, you know, like a big number pay per view everywhere. It's very rare.
I got you. But yeah, you know, man, I would love to. If I got on a fight night out there, that'd be dope. You know, I like the international aspects of the UFC, being able to go into these different countries and to experience different cultures. I would love to, man, come over there and chop it up. And see what the UK, see what that Manchester's all about.
Yeah, exactly. You have to, don't you? And do you watch other sports as well? Do you watch NFL or baseball, anything like that?
I stopped watching football quite a while ago. For me, it was although I understand that, you know, football is the game, it's the violence and that, but they were just making it a little bit too soft. And, you know, obviously we have the Colin Kaepernick situation over here. I don't like the NFL and, you know, what they're doing as far as their product. I do like that, you know, they're implementing change a little bit here and there. You know, we have the Jay-Z initiative I'm a fan of that. I want to see what he's going to do. But as far as sports goes, you know, my number one sport is basketball. I'm a huge fan of the NBA. I love it as a sport, but then the NBA, what I love so much about the organization is that it's really revolved around the players. They give the players, they have more leverage as far as things that they want to do. It becomes a social change, and, you know, we're talking about the Black Lives Matter movement and things like that. The NBA allows their players to voice their opinions, especially given that the NBA is a predominantly black, you know, a black league, right? Yeah. The NFL doesn't do that. You know, they, and we see what happens and their business model. But like I said, hopefully with the Jay-Z coming in, and we see some change, because there needs to be change over here.
Yeah.
But basketball, love basketball.
And I'm guessing your favorite team would be a team in Houston then, with the basketball.
You know, I enjoy the sport. You know, me, I love the Rockets. Houston, you know, I want them to win. I want them to always do well, because hometown.
Of course.
I'm a fan of the sport. You know, I just love the game. If, you know, Rockets go out and win, man, I'm happy. You know, if they go out and lose, I mean, it sucks, but, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a game, you know, and they're going to come back and do what they have to do. So I don't give too much into it as far as, like, favoritisms anymore. Growing up, I was a huge huge Utah Jazz fan, but I was into Carmelo and John Stockton. I was a LeBron James fan, so I would watch the Miami Heat, you know. But, yeah, you know, I just love the sport.
Good to hear.
Houston Rockets, let's go.
Houston Rockets, of course. Yeah, of course. A few years ago, the baseball team, the Astros, they won, didn't they? You know, after somebody predicted it.
Yeah, we won the World Series. Baseball was actually my favorite. Not favorite. Baseball was my first sport I ever played. I probably should have stayed in baseball with the no salary cap. And, you know, I played growing up. I had cousins and relatives who played professionally and won World Series titles. So in hindsight, I probably should have stayed playing baseball. But, you know, it is what it is.
It is indeed, isn't it? It is indeed. And we should make one more shout to our guest, Mike the Truth Jackson, here on the Earth Outer Show. Again, you can find him on social media. If you watch this on YouTube, you will see the hand gestures we're doing and everything we're doing on this on the video format, which is on YouTube for life. And his social media links are also on the video, so you can never forget who he is and where you can find him. Again, he's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even on Snapchat. Many people don't get their Snapchats out, but you do, so we appreciate that.
I mean, I put it out because it's the same as the other ones. So, I mean, I do what I can. If you're on YouTube, I'm on YouTube as well. You type in Mike the Truth Jackson, you can find me on YouTube. I put out the interviews. And then, because I cover a lot of the grappling events and the fights, I post the full fight videos and grappling matches on my YouTube. So, if you're into jiu-jitsu, if you're into fights, you get those. If you're into to interviews, you get those. Just get content every platform, man. Get something different, something new.
That's good. That's good, because you keep reinventing yourself, you know, you keep reinventing yourself and making each different platform must see, you know, kind of thing, and that's what's best for business, and I like that about you, Mike the Truth Jackson. And tell people why they should go to your website as well, because you do some great things on your website.
Yeah, you know, my website is MikeTheTruth.com. You know, I started this, man, probably like 8-9 years ago, and what it was supposed to be a blog site that gives you a look inside my life and my interests. You know, so for me, you know, I'm always traveling, I'm always on the road, so I like to put out the content that, you know, especially when I get time, but it's just a lot of content that I'm interested in, you know, and so I put that out, but it's, the number one is for the podcast, MikeTheTruth.com/podcast, but then I sell event tickets as well, so if you're in like the Houston markets or anywhere that I travel and put on a show, you get tickets at MikeTheTruth.com. So it's just a one-stop shop for a bunch of cool stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and I forgot to ask you actually before we end this. I forgot to ask you now the MMA fights you go to. I think you own them, don't you? You own the company who does them. Is that right? Or do you work with them?
No, I don't own the companies. You know, two things people ever they ask me what I would do, and I always say no. I would never be a gym owner, and I would never be a fight promoter. I think those are two of the most stressful jobs in fighting. And I'm all about keeping my stress levels to a minimum.
Yeah.
But no, I don't, like I said, I don't. They're not my companies, but I do. I work with them, and I provide a lot, a huge service for the companies that I work for.
Gotcha.
Work with, I should say.
Yeah. And we hope you continue working for them for life. And you have to tell them to come to the UK, because you will get the passionate fans, the wildy fans you can't find anywhere else, not even in Houston. You won't find these wildy, passionate fans. You know, I may turn up and invade the show and tell people that I've had him on the show. And, you know, things like that. So, you have to tell these people to come to the UK.
For sure, man. I mean, I would love to get over there, man. We got to get that UK budget popping.
Exactly. It's like, well, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show. To stay on the phone, though, because I want to discuss something with you in a minute. But for anyone who's tuning into this, stay tuned in, because in about, let's say, in about an hour from now, we will be live again with another interview. We're doing two today, two for two. Not always like this, but the way we've done it is we arranged two interviews on the same day. Don't blame me for that. It's the way we did it. Mike, the true Jackson, I got in contact with him first, so he's a primary one. But the other guys are great as well. The Von Erichs will be on the show as well. You know the Von Erichs? The new Von Erichs from MLW?
Oh, I don't know about the new Von Erichs. I'm going to check them out.
Yeah, Major League Wrestling. The best. I think they are the best independent wrestling company on TV right now. I think their product is much better than Impact Wrestling. But I'm sure we can have a good old discussion about which one's better with their production values and all that business. But I know you'll be tuning into Impact to see Ken Shamrock's big return to Impact Wrestling after doing some indie bookings on the outside, but not really been on TV. So it'd be a big TV return for the company. He'll be facing Moose in Las Vegas on September 4th and 5th, I think it is, a TV taping. So that'll be an interesting fight, and I think Ken Shamrock will have his number, because again, he is the world's most dangerous man.
There you have it
indeed. And if you enjoyed this video here, because this is the first ever video you get a complete interview here on the Father Show on YouTube, if you enjoyed that, let me know what you think about it. Let me know any ways you can think I can improve on to make it even better here on youtube.com/EdwardFowler. If you listen to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, thank you so much for listening to us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify /TheFowlerShow on them platforms. Make sure to give us a rating out of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and make sure you subscribe to us if you're new on there. Also follow us on Spotify as well, because more followers and more subscribers we get, the bigger the show can get, and the bigger amount of people can tune in each week and each episode, I say. 3 episodes a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And here on YouTube, you get live and free, starting from right now. So there you go about that. The next time, the next episode will be dropping soon. And if you're waiting for the next episode to drop, you don't have to wait any longer, because on Wednesday, we've got another MLW superstar who wrestled in WWE last year against Leo Rush. Ricky Martinez's interview drops on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. There'll be a few clips going up right here on YouTube on Thursday of this week, so stay tuned for that as well. But again, thank you to Mike the Truth Jackson for coming on this show. And will you come back on again?
Yeah, of course, man. Thanks for having me.
It's good. It's good to have you on the show. And until next episode drops, enjoy the rest of your day, night, evening, morning, or afternoon.